Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
John McClain joins us. John, your thoughts on Mariota slash Gabbert at quarterback Sunday?
I agree with Chad 100%. I think we're going to be seeing Blaine Gabbert.
Yeesh. What do you think J.J. Watt, Whitney Merciless, Reader, and Clowney are thinking?
Without the starting two tackles also for
well,
the
Titans. Well, I think, first of all, Watt and Clowney are thinking about LaJuan and Conklin being out, which we've known that all week, because when you're in a concussion protocol, you don't just get out within a week, and hopefully LaJuan will get out next week. So who are the starting tackles? I know one is Dennis Kelly, the brother
who's
of the Texas tight end coach. Who's the other one?
Yeah, the other is Kevin Pomfiel, who was drafted in Tampa Bay when John Robinson was there and is the swing guy.
Well, I'm guessing that Romeo Crennel's been working on with the strategy that the tackles are going to be out. And as far as the quarterback, you know, Blake Gabbert's not as talented as Mariota. We know it. He's been around. He's played in a lot of games. But and he's not a pure pocket passer who's totally immobile. So he has some mobility. And when you have a quarterback that had to leave a game with an elbow injury to his throwing arm, I'm sure coaching staff probably takes that into serious consideration when they're working on a game plan.
Paul, you were out of practice, post-practice on Wednesday when Mariota spoke. Was he a full participant in Wednesday's practice?
He was.
So there's had to be something there after that practice as to why he was limited Thursday and why the injury designation came out today for both QBs.
And we know typically you know, if a hurt guy returns to practice, the question is always about how he feels the next morning.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So that's what I said about Landry. Landry practiced on, I don't know if he practiced on Wednesday or Thursday, but then you ask yourself, how does he feel the next morning? If he comes back and the ankle feels good, you say, all right, we're on track here. If he comes back and the ankle's sore again, you say, maybe we need to slow down. And so I would imagine that Marcus woke up on Thursday probably not
and,
doing so.
And this, John, this has to make the Titans just sick. Not just that they could be down their starting quarterback, but also their Pro Bowl left tackle on two plays this past Sunday. The NFL came back and told Mike Vrabel and the Titans that the hit on Mariota should have been a penalty. And whether or not you think that the hit on LaJuan was dirty or not, he was certainly targeted on that play, and now he's out with a concussion.
I feel bad for Vrabel to start off the season with so many injuries. He's not going to use it as an excuse. You know, he said this week that train doesn't slow down for anybody, but the fact is, you know, that he went through that here last year when his defense was about wiped out. But the good thing is, as we know from experience through the decades, it's not what you do in September and October, but November and December.
John McClain with us. As we wrap up, John, on this preview, Deshaun Watson was hit 12 times by the Patriots last week. What led to that quarterback pressure? Was it all offensive line issues? Was he holding the ball a lot? To take us through the issues that he faced.
He held the ball too long, and the offensive line got him hit a lot. They had to make changes at their tackles. They didn't lose them. Theirs are not anywhere near as good as the Titans, but their left tackle went to right tackle where he never played, and the left tackle is a rookie, and both of them gave up sacks. The Patriots had two, but Watson was a lot better in the second half. He looked more sure of himself, so now they've had a week to try to get that taken care of. And the offensive line did a good job of run blocking. They ran for 167 yards, so I would expect both these teams are going to come out and try to run the ball as much as possible. Because you guys know, when you have backups in the offensive line, everybody likes to run block better and pass protect, and that's kind of a good way to get both of them's feet wet.
Get your take on the AFC South before we say goodbye and see you on Sunday, and see you this weekend. Colts at Redskins, 0-1 Indianapolis against 1-0 Washington.
The Colts made it close for a while, and then Washington, I think, is going to win. I was stunned that the Redskins went to Arizona and won 24-6. I thought the Cardinals would lose but be a little bit better. And then the Jaguars, of course, host New England. rematch of the AFC Championship game in which they blew in the fourth quarter. I can't remember if it's 10 or 13 points. If Jacksonville wins that game, you know, they're going to be purely the class of the AFC South. But I never picked the Patriots to lose, so I picked New England by 3.
John, thank you as always. We'll see you this weekend.
I look forward to it, guys. Thank you very much as always.
John McClain joins us twice a week here on the Midday 180.
Jason Hollifield on Twitter points out the one change from Mariota to Gabbert is the necessity to spy, or the inclination to spy. So that might be the one switch that the Texans flip based on which quarterback it is. Again, I don't think they're staying up late tonight or tomorrow. They have a plan for a guy they might want to spy, and then if they want to turn off the spy, they turn off the spy.
And while both Watt and Clowney, we focus on them, they have other pass rushers. Watt and Clowney can certainly get around the edge. They are more bull rushers than anything else. I think it's much different than a Robert Quinn-type pass rusher that was faced last week when Pomfield came on in relief of Lamar.
You're also going to get one-on-ones. Houston likes to put five guys on the line, and you have no choice but to start off on a one-on-one, particularly if you're inside. You know, the outside guys can maybe have a tight end or a back beside them. But the guard's not getting help. He's one-on-one, and the tackle's busy with somebody else, and the center is too. Very dangerous. You're going to have to be able to survive in one-on-ones. I expect they're promoting from the practice squad here. They need another tackle. Meritz is the practice squad guy. Corey Levin's not an inside guy. I think not an outside guy. He's a good inside option at center or guard, but he hasn't played tackle. And I don't remember Stinney playing tackle in the preseason. He might have shuffled to tackle, but he's an undrafted rookie. Are you going to have an undrafted rookie ready to step in as your third tackle? Meritz has been around.
Unless you bring one of those guys in at guard and move one of your starting guards outside. I don't know how you would rearrange it.
You need a backup tackle.
It's a bad spot regardless of what they choose.
It's a terrible spot, and this city is filled with gloom and doom right now. But it would love to be surprised, but there's not a lot of reason for optimism right now. I don't think it's a blood bank guarantee, but there's not a lot of reasons to be optimistic.